If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning or good afternoon, this is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
My name is George. I'm here with Sean, with his beautiful voice. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, good afternoon. A very tanned and orange Sean, I have to say.
And why is that different to normal?
I usually look white and pasty.
Very true. Where have you been?
I've been with the Tenerife Amers.
And where did you go?
I went to Costa Adeje.
Again, why? Lost on him.
I don't get it.
Said you were with the Tenerife Hammers. You didn't say you went to Tenerife.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, moving on. Hello, Nigel.
And I met Johnny, who's 65.
Still short. Was a
West Ham fan. From Barking. Yeah.
Hello, Nigel.
All right, George.
Where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Hey. Hey. Okay. Well, Sean, you've done a running order here, but you haven't done 10 minutes for yourself to talk, as John suggested. So when do you want to put that in?
Well, I thought we'd do that around item five, which is the transfer update. Is okay. Moyes a Divera okay. or Sullivan right, just we'll tight? Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with a performance at the weekend and against Huddersfield.
Wee-hee.
What game?
Yeah.
None of us went, but we all watched it, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean, let's start with you. What do you think went right? Did we play brilliantly or did Huddersfield struggle?
I predicted the 0-0 draw on our WhatsApp group after 15 minutes. I said, well, this has got 0-0 written all over it. And Nigel said,
I forgot to shame you on that. I'll screen clip that as well. I will put that
and,
out.
I was so wrong.
You were. You know,
It was just, well, I mean, we could have scored a lot more. I mean, the stats say differently, but Marco Arnautovic, coupled together with Manuel Lanzini, they've got to be the best partnership in the Premier League. And certainly Marco Arnautovic himself.
Really?
Yeah. As a partnership.
You're really claiming that.
I am. What? And not only that, I think the Marco Arnautovic is the best in-form midfield. If you look at the last sort of seven games, certainly on fantasy, I've just put him in my fantasy team. He's the best in-form midfielder, and he just between the two of them, they just brought the place to light. And you know, even down to on the fourth goal, you know, Arnie getting the ump because he missed a goal.
He walked away with his head down.
Right up. But you know the stats and. You know, I'll just mention them because I know you don't. We only have 35% of the possession. We both Huddersfield and West Ham had 8 shots, but we had 6 on target. They had 2 on target, and that tells a story because we just finished better. I mean, I don't think they were a really bad side, but as their boss said, what's his name, David Wagner? He said
Magna,
we gifted.
Magna.
Huh?
Magna, not yeah. Magna. Those are the days.
Yeah, that's a joke that is lost on most of our listeners. we gifted, he said to Huddersfield, we gifted them three goals, and they're right. I mean, the first goal was a gift, wasn't it? With Noble scoring.
It was a gift, but what
I
a finish.
I don't think it was a gift.
No?
No.
Tactical. It wasn't a mistake.
No, David Moyes, tactical genius.
They did call it out on Match of the Day, didn't they?
They did. They explained it. And it was, you look at it and think, ooh.
Well, the first goal, tactical genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on then. I'll do my bit then. I watched Match of the Day twice. Actually, because we were first on, I watched it on Saturday evening, and I also watched it on Sunday morning. So impressed was I that we're on twice. I saw that Frank Lampard just sat there, sort of saying nothing really.
Well, no, his bit was when he praised David Moyes for he compared it to the Chelsea goal where he said, you know, Chelsea capitalise on the way they play short out the back. And David Moyes obviously watched that, and that's why he positioned the players where they were, and they closed down, and it worked.
I thought Ian Wright talked about it with Lineker, and basically he stayed stum and just really talked about Huddersfield being bad rather than West Ham being good. But maybe I'm biased on that.
Maybe. Nigel, what do you think? Did we play really well, or did Huddersfield struggle?
I think obviously scoring 10 seconds into the second half shows that something happened at half time.
David Moyes, genius.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I've always said that I like to judge a manager by second half performance once they get the players in. That the only time they've got to change anything is at half time. So they watch the first half. Once the second half starts, if you can see a noticeable change, then they've done their work. And then obviously they did do their own work. But throughout the game, I mean, that was a great goal that Huddersfield got. Don't knock it. But for West Ham to respond in that way, and Huddersfield have been no pushovers at home recently. So for us to blitz them in that 15-minute start to the second half with the three goals and the Lanzini and Arnautovic show was just wonderful and a joy to behold. And it did make me wonder why we can't sort of be a bit more adventurous like that against the bigger boys, and perhaps we may be able to win a game and not just draw a game, you know.
And do you agree with Sean when he says they're the best partnership in the Premier League at the minute?
I think Arnautovic is, I mean, his stats will probably tell you that he's the best up front player at the moment. He's playing up front. He's not playing in midfield. I mean, every goal, I mean, they didn't give him an assist for the first goal, but it was his pressurising on the defender, Lolly, I think, who actually scored their goal, pressurising on him. And it was like a pack of hyenas on the hunt. You know, they one was one side, one was the other side, and they corralled him. You know, Arnautovic run round, got on his back, he's turned to spin and spun into the Noble and nicked the ball off of him and put it in the net. You know, that was wildlife on one. That type of tactic.
You didn't answer the question, though. What? Are they the best partnership in the Premier League at the moment?
Or would you rather have Firmino and Salah?
Well, yeah. I'd rather have, Firmino and Salah.
No, that's not the question. Well, the best in form at the moment. Just look at the stats, not who would you rather have.
How many goals has Salah scored? And for me, it's only a Liverpool podcast, yeah? But let's look at the goals they've scored to what we've scored.
In the last, I was very precise, in the last seven games.
Well, they've still scored goals in the seven games.
They both scored yesterday, Sean. So
I know, but I still stand by my statement.
No, they're not. But at the moment, they're making us tick in a great way. It'd be good if we can see that at home. You know, we've seen glimpses, well, not glimpses of it. We've seen it away against the Stoke and the Huddersfields. Let's hopefully we can mimic that. I mean, the only defeat in the last six games I think we've had is that Newcastle game. And we've had some tough games. So
that's right.
Onwards. Top 10, as I said last week, top 10's possible. and it's looking like probable.
Well, we're 11th.
Well,
but here's the craziness: we're still only a few points off the relegation zone.
Four points.
Yeah,
or five at the moment. And if Stoke get a point tonight, it'll be four. But yeah,
I'm just looking. You're right. We're on 25. Watford are one above us on 26. Everton on 27. So another win with the right direction, we could be ninth, which is where Everton are at the moment. And they were in obviously trouble recently. Palace is on the same goal difference as us and points as us, but we've scored more goals. And Bournemouth and Huddersfield just 1 point behind us on 24th. So there's everything to play. Stoke, you're right, 20th. So yeah, win for them.
Shows how big the games are coming up. I mean, we've got, in the league, we've got Bournemouth to come, Palace to come, and then Brighton. All teams that are within a point or 2 points, obviously.
Yeah.
Big games.
Talking about Everton, because I know you love Big Sam. Did you see what Big Sam said on his interview after being tonked 4-0?
Yeah.
He said, I wanted to play a bit like Moisey at West Ham. And I thought, after I saw them at Wembley, I thought I'd give it a go. But maybe I got it wrong and I need to play a bit more boring. Maybe that's the key. Boring football.
Well, that Tottenham game, I don't want to go on about Tottenham or whatever, but I watched how Everton played, and it's to do with my rant of last week, because I sort of slagged off West Ham for playing nine men in the box, really negative, not having a shot for 70 minutes. And then you look at Everton were a bit more open, and you look at what Tottenham done to them, and then you think, well, all Tottenham's goals come from in the box. Moyes puts nine people in the box to stop them playing through. So perhaps, I'm not saying I was wrong, because I'm still disappointed that we resort to those tactics against a team like Tottenham, but perhaps it shows that I am a bit, perhaps, out of touch.
Ooh. Admission.
Yeah.
So how about you, George? Well, what did you think?
I was a little bit amazed at when we went 4-1 up. I think I said on the group that Arnautovic is unplayable at the minute. I think he's just very direct, strong, good with both feet. I thought his goal was underrated, to be honest. I think the way he brought it down, flicked it up and finished it with his left foot is very...
Hammer of the Year, if Hammer of the Year was taken now?
I think he'd be up there. I think it would be him or Zabaleta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Zabaleta? I mean, I'm not saying that Zabaleta's not done well, but why Zabaleta?
I think he's been consistent all season, a good performer. Even when we were playing badly, he was still putting in performances under Bilic.
Hmm.
I think
it's
been a good signing.
Zabaleta's problem is you can't really make a song out of his name, and like Masuaku, who's better than Lukaku. So, you know, you try and make a song out of Zabaleta's name, and I think, you know, it's quite difficult. And that's perhaps why fans love
it. Did you see James Collins singing the Liverpool song?
No. What? You'll Never Walk Alone?
No, it's like Sugar Sugar, but to...
sing it for us, Sean.
No, I'm not.
Come on. What? I don't know.
No, I don't know how it goes. You know how it goes. It's a viral one that was about... who's there? The player just mentioned scoring all the goals.
Firmino.
Salah.
Firmino or Salah?
Salah.
Either one.
Salah.
Because they're a really good partnership.
Salah.
That nutcase.
Salah. That nutcase, yeah. Oh, so in the tunnel at Huddersfield, the camera's got James Collins singing Salah. Salah.
Oh, thanks for that insight,
Sean. Yeah, it's okay.
Can you introduce the next part of the podcast, please?
One last thing I want to ask
on
it.
Go on, quick.
And I just forgot. Lanzini, Rabona.
What did you call him? Wait. Excuse me?
What?
His Rabona shot. Was that
Ribena?
A waste of a... Rabona.
What did you call him?
His Rabona.
I don't know what you're talking about, I'm afraid.
He's lost me.
What? What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
I thought it was called a Ribena, isn't it?
It's not the Ribena.
A Vimto.
That's it. Yeah.
Was he just trying to be too fancy?
I thought he was trying to cross the ball.
I thought it was a cross as well. It just went horribly wrong.
Cool.
Anyway, can you introduce the next podcast, please, Sean?
I still haven't got my Scottish accent, yeah.
No, but you have put it in brackets here just to make it clear that you need to do it in Scottish accent.
Okay, the new. It's here with the Guthrie.
Dares doubt David Moyes, 11th in the Premier League.
Well, we've got a long way to go, but the players have done brilliantly well since we've come in, and a lot of praise must go to them. I thought they were terrific today, and beating one of your opponents really in the position you are in the league is really important.
Marko Arnautovic was at the heart of everything today for you, wasn't he? He did have a tough start, David, didn't he, to life at West Ham. How pleased are you with the Marko Arnautovic that you've got now?
I'm really pleased with Marko because, everybody told me he hadn't performed since he came. But I think everybody knew how good he was when he was at Stoke City, and that's why they paid a big fee for him. But I think maybe giving him a freer role up front as well is giving him a chance to show other sides to his game as well, his effort and the way he's worked. And today, he could have been played in a couple of times by Lanzini in the first half and he didn't get the pass. And in the end, it was Marko who was playing in Lanzini to score. So all round, his play was very good in the game and he's done really well.
And that was a game changer for you, wasn't it? 11 seconds into the second half.
Yeah, undoubtedly. It's the things in football what you need, bits to go for you. And we got a goal right from the kickoff, which from that point of view, gave us a great start to the second half.
Another congratulations for Mr. Moyes, the fourth manager to win 200 matches in the Premier League in very good company. Sir Alex Ferguson, who was here today, Arsene Wenger and Harry Redknapp.
Well, the ones you've mentioned are great managers, so to be in that position is great. I've enjoyed it. I've had good times, I've had bad times, but ultimately you want to win the games, and I'm glad I've won a few.
Just wanted to ask you as well, David, why six subs on the bench? Was there were reports that Andy Carroll failed a fitness test. Was that not true?
No, that's not true. Andy wasn't fit. We had a reserve game last night, and we chose to play the young boys in the reserve game rather than them maybe coming and sitting on the bench and not getting on. And with us having a game on Tuesday, there was one or two who needed the match. Sam Byron's just coming back from that. So we decided not to bring MD up after the game last night.
It wasn't a message to the board saying, I want some more players. I mean, how busy do you expect to be in this month?
Well, the board know, and they more than MD want to add to the squad as well. I think it's just the difficulty of the month. Can we do it? We'd like to add a couple of players if we can.
There you go. Nigel, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I made him right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved the man now.
Do you agree what he said about transfers?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You have no idea what he said.
Well, I agree with the man. I don't care what he says. I agree with him.
Yeah. A little while ago, you were agreeing with Slaven Bilic. And
that don't change. I still think Slaven Bilic would have kept this team up. So
Slav, obviously, they put the stat up saying one goal by Lanzini, no goals or assists by Marko Arnautovic in 7 games under Bilic, 11 games under Moyes, and they've got 8 goals and 8 assists between them. Figures speak for themselves, don't they?
Yeah, but how many of them has Lanzini got?
I don't know.
Two. The two he got the other day. So it's a bit of a skew with stat. At the end of the day, listen, if you want to have a pop, the players have only got themselves to be ashamed of for the way they performed under Bilic. Bilic lost the players, but the players didn't perform for him. They're not there to perform for him. They're there to perform for the shirt and the fans and the club. So, but Bilic is gone, mate. That's finished with. We're in the David Moyes era now. Jog on.
Sean, it's over to you to introduce the next part so we can jog on, please.
Yeah, so earlier today, in fact, just before the podcast, I interviewed the new chair of the West Ham Supporters. West Ham United Independent Supporters Association. I got it right on the interview, and that is Mark Walker, and you can hear him now.
And we welcome to more than just a podcast. He's the new chairman of WISA, which is the West Ham United Independent Supporters Association. Is that right, Mark?
It is. It is indeed.
Mark Walker, new interim chair of the Independent Support Association, affiliated to the Football Supporters Federation as well. All a bit of a mouthful, which is why you call yourself WISA.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue ever so slightly better.
It does, yeah. So, I don't know whether all of our listeners know what WISA is. Can you give a little soundbite on what WISA does and on why it was created?
Sure. So it's been around for a few years now. About 18 months ago, it kind of came into its current format in terms of having a more elected committee and being more active in getting things done within the club. Like any organisation, it's really quite to get these things going. It's unique in as much as lots of football clubs have independent supporters associations now. All of them tend to be affiliated to the FSF or the Football Supporters Federation, as you said before. And then we are West Ham's voice at this time on the Football Supporters Federation panel. So through that, we get invited to speak on support's behalf to the Premier League. We get invited to meetings with the police. And the only people that we've struggled to get invited to speak to have been the club, ironically. But obviously, that more and more so, that's coming to fruition now.
So let me ask you a question. I know the answer to this, but our listeners may not. What's the difference between an independent supporters association and a trust?
So a trust is any money that's raised by a trust must be used to buy shares in a football club. So Supporters Direct, which is the kind of organisation that looks after all the trusts, you would set up a trust, you would accumulate enough money to buy shares when they became available in a football club, or occasionally what's happened, the football club has kind of fallen on hard times. Most famously, Portsmouth, obviously, have a situation in Hartlepool at the moment, and a trust could then step in to take over the running of a football club. What an independent supporters association can do is not that, in as much as it can raise money, but then use that money to campaign for changes in terms of the supporters.
Now, I know you've got a paid membership policy because I'm one of your members. How does that work? I mean, I know how it works because I signed up at Early Doors. How many members have you got, paid members have you got? Is there any future of having, I know a number of the other trusts and support associations have associate members or free membership. What's the plan there of what's your membership now? How's it going to grow? What's the future?
So the membership up until January was £3. Shortly it will come down to £1 to cover the rest of the season, and then a decision will be made in the summer, obviously through committee, through a vote, as to whether we stayed with a pay structure or whether we switched to free membership. I mean, there's pros and cons for both. Some people are pro having a paid membership because it's more of an investment. People are paying money. There's a higher level of expectation, higher level of scrutiny. It's free membership. And however you wish to interpret that, whether someone signs up or you include people that have liked your page on Facebook or follow you on Twitter, etc., that it's a slightly more murky area. But if it's felt by the committee that it would be best to switch to a free system, then I think that's the way we will go. I think what was important at the beginning was that we raised enough money to set up a website and do all the kind of admin things that are needed, our affiliations and all the things that are needed to make us legit and credible. And then, of course, throughout, we've always been accountable. But, I mean, that is a debate that's coming down the track as to whether we switch to a free membership model. And I know, speaking to some of the committee members, they're very keen. Speaking to some of the wider members, they're very keen. Others, maybe it's best to keep some kind of formal financial contribution and then keep the gravitas that comes with that.
And what is the membership stand at the moment?
Membership at the moment is coming up to 1,000.
Excellent. That's quite good in the first year, from my understanding, talking to people like Spurs Trust and other people who've gone about it.
Beg your pardon for that again, Sean, sorry.
So I understand from talking to Spurs Trust in the past that if you've got 1,000 in the first 18 months, that's paid members, that's quite good going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, if you compare it to, and the club are very fond of doing it, if you compare it to Facebook groups and stuff like that, it doesn't seem as good. But when you think there are actual people that have made a commitment to pay £3 and then engaged with us through the elections and the processes we have in place, then yeah, it's a healthy position to be in. And I think whatever system that we put in place going forward will retain a, it would be, have to be more than simply saying that, oh, everyone that's on our Twitter group or everyone that's on our Facebook page is a member. I think there needs to be another level to kind of show commitment to the association.
Yeah, yeah. You talked about the committee. What can you tell us about, obviously it's not just you, what can you tell us about the committee? What sort of representation have you got on the committee to represent people's views?
I mean, we're very, very lucky. I mean, we've got people like myself who are away season ticket holders and very, very respected game. And then we've got people that have come along that are new since the Olympic Stadium, or started coming more regularly since we moved to the Olympic Stadium. And it's really interesting talking to those people as well, because their experiences and expectations are quite different to mine. Me, I mean, I've always been very anti the move. We've got people that were very pro the move. We've had people that are pro the move and now anti. We've got people that are anti and actually gone, it's not so bad. So we've got a rich mix of people.
Good. And I'm probably leading on to that is, what is the association name as it stands at the moment? Do the committee have a manifesto or a set of aims they're trying to achieve? Is it just about growing membership, or is it more deeper than that?
I mean, I personally, everything I do should have one eye on growing membership and making us more relevant and more appeal to more and more supporters, because you can easily fall into the trap that your experience and how you decide to support West Ham is how everyone decides to support and engage West Ham. And we've seen that throughout the debates this year, most notably recently the away ticket scheme. I mean, we haven't got a clear like manifesto. There's lots of things that we'd like to change, but most important is for us to be representational. So when a situation does come up, like it can be something relatively minor, like the stones, the championship play stones outside the ground. Lots of our members contact us and said that there's very poor service, the stones are badly maintained. They're selling programs, so the program seller positioned on top of them. We're there to react to that. So we're there to say, okay, thank you very much. And then we'll collect and we'll go out and say, has anyone else had this experience? And other people say, yes, we have. And then we can make that representation on behalf of supporters to the club. And sometimes we get a hearing, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it can be like talking to a brick wall. Other times we've had more success. And then the bigger things that we've done is through working with our like the FSS, we were rumoured to, and there was a strong rumour that we were going to play on Christmas Eve against Newcastle. The game was going to move to Christmas Eve, so we worked quickly with the FSS and lobbied politicians and stuff like that, and helped build up a big campaign to make sure that switch never came about, and that the fixture was kept on a Saturday. So there are things we'd like to do, but fundamentally it's about there to give supporters a quick voice to quickly engage with and feel that they can, an avenue into the club. They haven't got to wait for the next SAB or just aimlessly send an email off to the club and hope it gets answered.
So my last question before you can do your plug, and I'm sure you know I was going to ask this, the real West Ham fans, obviously they've created a Facebook group, which is, I don't know how many now, but 12,000. Is the supporters for association the real West Ham fans compatible? Are they in competition with each other? Why does West Ham fans need multiple voices?
I don't think they do. I think what the real West Ham fans done has been brilliant. The numbers they've grown have been great and have been fantastic. And personally, I'm very supportive of the work they've done. And I spoke to Andy and encouraged them to carry on. And where possible, like, we obviously have greater restrictions because of our affiliation to the FSF and to those bodies, that we can't quite do the protests that they have planned or want to plan. And we have to be much more representational of a wider group of people. I think what they're doing is great personally. I don't think there's certainly no need for competition. Obviously keep an open channel to what they're doing and where Worcester can support them. We will absolutely support them where we have a shared agenda. And I wish them luck. What happens in the future, I don't know. I mean, in as much as I think that with our hands are tied by the commitment we have to the Football Supporters Federation, as I say. So I'm not sure in the future we can always publicly be as vocal as they can on certain issues. I wish them the best, and I think the broader the debate, the broader and more people involved is absolutely a good thing.
Good. All right. Well, this is your opportunity to plug. If someone wants to become a member, just remind how much does it cost? Where do they go? I'm sure there's a website address.
Yeah, it's the relaunched website is www.whuisa.org. And then just click on that website and you'll see a join member at the top. Any other problems, drop us a tweet or something like that and we'll get back to you straight away.
And the Twitter address is, Mark, trusting you again?
It's, confusingly, it's WHUISA 2017. And, yeah, drop us a line and if you're having any problems or if you've got a question or any issue whatsoever, please get in touch. We'll only be too happy to help. You don't have to be a member to reach out to us.
Great. Thanks for being our guest on More Than Just a Podcast. Since we're just before the Shrewsbury game, I'm going to ask you for a prediction for the Shrewsbury game and the FA Cup replay at the London Stadium.
I think the pressure's off after Saturday, so we can refocus our attention on a nice cup run, and that will start off with a nice 2-0 win tomorrow night. We'll probably make it difficult for ourselves for an hour, but we'll be all right in the end.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
No problem. Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There you go. That was Mark Walker. What do you think of that, Nigel?
I like what he says.
Oh, really?
I do, yeah. I think.
Did you actually listen to it?
I think he's on the money. Of course I listen to it. He's a mate of mine. I'm going to listen to it.
Right. Okay, good.
I support him wholeheartedly.
Yeah, good. I wasn't too tough on my interview.
No, I don't think so.
Good. Right.
Number 5 on the running order. Now, when we introduced the podcast a little while ago, this was where Sean wanted to talk for 10 minutes without being interrupted. So, Sean, over to you.
So, I'm writing a blog at the moment. And the blog is, so my partner in crime, Hugh Southern, wrote an article this morning about, is David Moyes a diverer in the transfer market? And I went on a podcast last night and it started off, I was on the EPL Roundtable podcast, which is an American podcast. And there's a Man United fan on last night. And when I talked about the possibility of David Moyes being a diverer, I had a roar of laughter because you ask any Man United fan and they think he is a diverer. You know, he allegedly scouted Cahill 35 times before making a decision, decided against Jagielka. He made a number of decisions. He treats it like his own money, right? Anyway, I did a bit of research, and you're right. You can find lots of articles about David Moyes, the diverer. But I started to think, right, this is a marriage made in heaven for David Sullivan and David Moyes. Because on one hand, if it's true that he is a diverer and he treats it like his own money and he doesn't make a decision quickly, then Sullivan must love that. Because let's be honest, right? Sullivan is stuck in years ago when he was at Birmingham. He always undervalues players. He said time and time again, he doesn't like the January transfer window, doesn't think you get any value. If someone asks 25 million, he'll put in a bid for 12 million, right? You know, I understand sometimes you don't go straight to it. But then after his first bid, he might up it by half a million a time. It will never get close to the valuation. So one art, you've got the de facto director of football being a bit of a tight ass, let's be honest. You know, they haven't spent more than 25 million net over the last 3 years each year, so 75 million in total. They don't see its big value, and even Karen Brady said in a Sun column, you know, we can't compete with the likes of Barcelona, and, you know, big players don't want to come to us. And on the other hand, if it's true, you've got a diverer. So I'm saying, and this is what my blog's entitled, A Marriage Made in Heaven. A transfer diverer and a transfer tight ass. What a combination. There you go. It's not quite 10 minutes, but that was my piece, George.
Thank you, Sean.
Do you agree, though?
What a combination. I mean, it's not something to celebrate, is it?
Well, I spoke to Nigel before the podcast. Ask him
his
view.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that.
That's it. Drop me in it.
Don't do that.
Right, but ask him his view. And he said this before, I think, on a previous when he was a guest. And I know this is his real view. What do you think about the general transfer window, Nigel?
At this moment in time, I wouldn't be spending any money. Possibly, if a good player came up for the right money, I may look. But generally, we know we only get rubbish in January. We know it's only panic or other people's cast-offs. I don't get the clamour for fans to demand signings. I would rather save the money for the summer. As long as they did spend the money in the summer, though, I can't see the need to go out and do what we normally do, because it's very, very rare. We've probably signed, I don't know, 40, 50 players in the 8 years that they've owned the club in the January transfer window.
Including Demba Ba, including Dean Ashton.
Yeah, but then we'll go like Meadó, Benny McCarthy. No, Dean Ashton wasn't bought by Golden Sullivan for a start. It was bought.
Yeah, I know he wasn't, but I thought it was a January.
No, boy. I said in the 8 years that they've owned the club.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
he was a January boy.
He was a January window, yeah. But I don't see the need to just rush out and spend money. We'll end up with the, like, let's face it, we all know Snodgrass has been scapegoated by the club for failures, but it is evident he weren't up to the task that we bought him for. The same as Font weren't that great, both on a lot of money, both probably still having their wages paid by us. Well, Font definitely is, Snodgrass probably we're chipping in. So that's that lot wasted. The transfer January before that, we really didn't get anything to write home about. It's just been bad windows after bad windows. So with Golden Sullivan, well, not with Gold, I won't blame him because I don't think he has a thing to do with buying players, but with Sullivan at the helm, I wouldn't be clamouring to push for signings. No, I wouldn't.
No, I'm personally not either. I think we need one or two additions. I think we need a central midfielder. I know we were never, ever in the running for him, but look, Chelsea getting Ross Barkley. I mean, you can buy quality in January. It's there. I know he's probably a rare case, but I think we need something. I think at least just to even get the majority of the fans excited again. I mean, obviously the results on the pitch are helping, but I think a couple of new faces would help even more.
But that's then the fans are a bit gullible, aren't they? Because they were excited over Snodgrass and Font then.
Yeah, but they did, didn't we? I know, maybe we didn't, but some people did.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Football fans are gullible, famously.
Yeah. I mean, they just believe that everyone should, you know, we should play in the transfer market. And I just don't think you get too much value. Look, I understand, right, that the money we're kind of spend available to us is under 20 million, right? That 20 million, if we don't spend it this January, will be available in the summer. My question to you, George, is what can you get? What value or what quality can you get for 20 million?
Ross Barkley.
Would he have come to us?
No, but he'd cost less than 20 million.
But all right, well, let's talk about realistic. Is 20 million for you to spend? You're David Moyes at the moment, George. What a player that will come to us for 20 million, who would you buy this January?
I don't know, not off the top of my head, but you know, that would buy you one decent midfielder, surely.
Well, I don't know if it will. I mean, with
Andre Ayew.
Yeah, possibly.
He's done all right. Leave him alone.
Well, you know, I see the other papers are caught up with what I said, which is you questioned me when I said Chicharito was available at a price, and you poo-pooed me when I said this in December.
Are you talking to me there?
Well, I don't know. John did.
I did not
John
poo-poo
did.
You. I disagreed with the fact. I didn't say it wasn't true.
Yeah, but all right. John said, I don't believe you because how can all the strikers be available? And that's exactly what the Daily Mirror wrote last week.
I'm not sure he was disagreeing with you that it was true either. I think we're just disbelief more than disagreement, to be honest.
Yeah.
But we don't need strikers with Super Arnie up front, do we?
Well, we could do it with more than one because if he gets injured, what do we do then?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look like any of them at the moment. You've probably heard Chicharito's injured for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sacco's still not, is on sort of unofficial strike. And Andy Carroll's injured.
I saw ex-WHU employee said that if Andy Carroll goes to Chelsea, Batshuayi, we'd want him to come the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. So what I've been told, in it's a bit quiet on the senior source front, right? Because they're trying to do good by David Moyes by not revealing too much. But
and so they should.
Equally, I'm told that basically that the Andy Carroll and Diafro Sacco are both agent talk. So it's agents talking to agents. So agents talking to agents representing Palace or West Brom with Sacco. And it's agents, Andy Carroll's agent, talking to agents represent Chelsea. There's no club-to-club contact on any of these. It's all agent talk,
so
trying to generate
Dave
interest.
Does not use agents in?
Yeah, of course he does.
Oh, right. Well,
I'm just saying there's no club-to-club. My understanding is on both Sacco and Carroll, there is no talk. And I have been told...
Chelsea makes sense for me. It really does.
I've been told there is no club, no bids have come in for any players whatsoever, any West Ham players in this window. Mm. And there's been, you know, you've heard Moyes has talked about we're looking for loans. But I understand that in Europe, there's some bids been put in this week.
There's an Italian striker that plays for Valencia. Apparently he's quite good.
Yeah. What's his name?
Zaza or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he sounds quite good. We should have a little punt on him.
Is that transfer update done?
I think so. Unless you've got any questions, I'm happy to ask any questions of what I know, but I'm not sure there's really a lot to talk about unless you want to ask whether the rumour's true or not.
Do you have any questions for the font of knowledge, Sean Whitestone? I'll take that as a no. I think he's put himself on mute. I don't know if he's meant to do that. Anyway,
the only thing I'd say is,
why did you have it on mute?
I don't know, because I was listening to him.
So you were sitting there talking away, and we couldn't hear you,
zoning out, listening to him. It's when it comes to agents, and the club say there's no club to club talking; it's just agent talk. Who's to say that West Ham haven't employed an agent to do their dirty business, but just not be seen publicly?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. And it's interesting how favoured agent Mark Mackay, son of Willie Mackay, is in the middle of this Russian striker stuff as well, talking to the directly to the Sun, selling his client in there, saying, you know, he bought in Payet and he can't believe no one in the Premier League's come in for his client, and he thinks he'd make a good match for West Ham. So, you know, these agents like to big up their clients and like them linked with certain clubs. I know. How dare they? How
jolly
well
dare they?
If only those
agents knew a couple of gullible like EastEnders with a bit of money to spend on some players that don't really know what they're doing. If only
yeah,
they knew.
If only they knew a Del Boy and a Rodney.
Yeah.
It's time for this. It's Facebook Twitter question time. Sean, you put on the Facebook group, facebook.com/mornagethepodcast, recording a podcast in 10 minutes to discuss Huddersfield win and some transfer stuff. Is David Moyes a transfer ditherer, or is the board just tight with their money, or is it a bit of both? Paul Seaman says, perhaps neither. We're in good form. He's having a look at the youngsters, which we all keep saying we want, and he never get value in January. We're good enough to get 5 more wins. I'd rather see us finish a few paces lower, albeit safe, and see more of Cullen, Burke, Oxford and Martinez, and do early solid business in the summer ready for pre-season. Perhaps a loan or two or obvious bargain. Sean, he asks, what do you think about Rodwell? Have you heard anything on Jack Rodwell?
No, I haven't. I will look into that. There's a nice little tip that will make a nice little story. So I will look into that.
Make sure
I don't
you
know.
Credit Paul.
Yep, I will credit Paul Knott.
Who's Paul Knott?
He's saying, been told he can go for nothing from Sunderland. And Moyes nurtured him at Everton. Oh, I like that. I like that. I might write that as a story, even if it's not true, Paul.
There you go.
Chip off the old block, as Hugh would say.
Nick Harvey says, oh yeah, I'm not even going to say that. Nick Harvey says, definitely feel it's a bit of both. There is no doubt Sullivan is tight with the money, but Moyes seems a little undecided. Can see us only getting Shelby right as the window closes. Get the feeling Moyes is happy with Arnie and Lanzini up front, which is okay, but we're a couple of injuries away from plummeting back to the bottom of the table. I agree. For me, use the youngsters for centre-back cover, Shelby in the middle, and one striker. Let Carroll go if anyone will take him on a permanent basis. It's obvious Moyes doesn't want to or can't play to Hernandez's strength, so let's get him off the wage bill too. He says we need to get points on the board ASAP as our running doesn't look good. Yeah, we've got a few big games coming up, like we said earlier. And Ed Hughes says, think the market isn't great currently. Seems like a lot of teams are lining up deals, but nobody seems to want to complete in case something better appears at the last minute. I also think our erratic form isn't helpful for Moyes to make a decision on what is our most urgent priority.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, he's right about the market. Look at Southampton. They got 75 million from Liverpool, and what have they done with it? Nothing.
Well, nothing.
Yeah, burning hole in the pocket. They don't trust their manager.
Well, they could be. Should have kept the other guy. Who's the other guy that was? He did quite well. They're only 1 point from relegation now.
Yeah, the one at Leicester, isn't it? Yeah. Even though apparently he bored them to death, which Ouyo, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
cool.
Is it for Facebook Twitter question time? Check Twitter. Let me just quickly do that.
By the way, just to let you know, while you're doing that, George. Our own Nigel Kahn is going to be a star of the Premier League. I've arranged
him.
Have
you agreed to do it, Nigel?
I've agreed. He's going to do a little.
He don't keep nothing quiet, does he?
I've talked to the club. I've told them you're doing it, by the way. I've arranged access to the London Stadium to sit in your seat. Got the filming permit sorted out. Just got to talk to the back to the producer, and it'll be filmed next week. I don't know if it's going to be broadcast, but Nigel Kahn, a West Ham fame extraordinaire.
Well, you've sold it. It's for all the riffraff around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to 150 countries worldwide.
So
being
they wanted
shown
someone that they could understand.
Yeah, I know, but you're going to have to Oh, you got to wear your flat cap, right? Yeah. You've got to wear your flat cap.
Do you like the flat cap, dear?
I do. I do. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to thank you for making that video public.
Yeah, you loved that, didn't you?
Yeah, thank you very much.
They got a lot of engagement on
social. Actually, three people that used to work for me actually commented on it, give me a bit of stick. And I'm thinking, how did they know it was up? So obviously, word got round.
Who said that? Who said your wife also commented on it and said
yes. Oh, you noticed that? Yes, my wife did. Yes.
There's a late comer on the Facebook group.
Oh, late on the Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And we've got a mention here from the American West Ham podcast. I don't know if any of you saw this earlier. It's a new podcast launched. New West Ham podcast by two Americans from Philly and St. Louis. Episodes Monday evenings. And it says, listen to the podcast, shout out to more than just a podcast, West Ham podcast and West Ham Way podcast.
Never heard of them. What's some other ones? What's it say? West Ham Way podcast? But I've heard of that one.
Another podcast. Nigel, stop. Another podcast added to the West Ham family. So welcome.
So that's 9 listeners now.
Actually, Sarif says, how do you guys keep making all these podcasts knowing that you only have 8 listeners? I don't know.
I joke. No, no.
We do it for the love of...
For the love of the 8 listeners, Sarif. Thank you guys. Very much, personally.
And the late comer on Facebook is Liam Tyrrell, who says, Jolyon Lescott was a studio guest on Footy Focus on Saturday. Said Moyes watched him 50-plus times before deciding to sign him. Thorough or overcautious?
Yeah, this is what I hear about him. He does all the scouting himself and just does it to death.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that not good, though?
It is a probably good one, but, you know, when... He's only got 6 months left on his contract, so
he hasn't. It's a break clause. As I keep on telling you, you keep on not listening.
We'll break that.
I think it's called ignoring. Sean. More of a story the other way.
It's true.
Hey, exactly. For your
prediction: Shrewsbury tomorrow night and Bournemouth. Please, Sean.
So Shrewsbury, it was a bit of a boring game beforehand, but that's how. We can do it. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game, so I'm going to go for 2-0. Bournemouth this Saturday. I hope the home... By the way, we've got 2 more home games than most of our competitors. Little stat there. I think we can use the home advantage and we can win 2-1 against Bournemouth to put us 10th or whatever it is.
Nigel?
Shrewsbury of penalties.
Oh,
Jesus.
To drag the life out of my own.
You'll be home at 12.
Yeah. One of the 15,000 that bought the ticket. And the Bournemouth, I think it'll be a draw purely because we don't win 2 games on the trot. And our current form is draw, win, lose, draw, win, draw, win, I believe. So next up is draw.
Or lose.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for wins all round, 2-0 and 2-0.
Excellent.
And Sean, you put 8 goodbyes. Now, number 8 is next on our running order, but also it could be individual goodbyes to our 8 listeners.
Right. Yeah. Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
There you go, individual goodbye.
Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.